The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning and welcome, Patriot News Hour. Joe and Jason on this Wednesday. Happy hump day. We got gold on the move once again as the Bank of Japan holding an emergency meeting to try to stop the yen's decline. Hit a 34-year low this morning. Gold's up 15 right now, 21.92. For those of you that follow it on TV, that's the June contract TV gold right now, $2,215. Silver is higher as well. Our toll-free number, 800-951-0592. The website at allamericangold.com. And it looks like we're setting up for another record high close. I think it'll be, what, the fifth, maybe the sixth record high close in March. Jason, well, we told everybody, we were telling everybody in January and February, listen, fireworks don't begin until March. Obviously, the Japanese are very concerned about the weakness of the yen. Of course, you know, blaming speculators' faults. No, it's not speculators' faults. When you live beyond your means, this is what happens. They had their finance minister out. They had their head of their central bank. Just about everybody in Japan talking about intervention in the yen to protect it from going lower. And Jason, I think this is kind of what we're going to see from all the central banks. This is why you're seeing these central banks buying all of this gold. This is why you're seeing central banks repatriate all of their gold, because this is kind of late cycle fiat money things. This is what happens, right? Because let's face it, does it really matter what the dollar is against the yen, right? Does it matter what it is against the euro? It doesn't matter. They're all the same, right? They're just debt instruments that are supposed to go to zero. That's just how it works. And now I would not be surprised over the next, let's just say the next 5 years, if we get that far. I don't know that it'll go 5 years before we go digital. This is going to be something where every quarter, you know, maybe every 6 months, we're going to see central banks in emergency mode. We've seen our central bank do it time and time again, haven't we, Jason?
And they always make up something new, don't they, Jonah? And we have a clip on the next segment we'll get into. And yeah, Joe, the central banks, boy, it's everyone's fault but theirs, right? It's always somebody else's fault. Don't blame them. They only have control over the financial sector worldwide. Yeah, but it's not their fault.
It's not their fault. Our central bank, it's official now. They reported a loss of $114 billion in 2023. We're going to have similar losses in 2024. But what could possibly go wrong? You know, all right, so they've lost, you know, $250 billion. You know, no big deal. Of course, it really is great to be them, because all they do is just make a thing on the balance sheet. Doesn't count. They don't have to pay it. They don't have to do anything. Ah, well, we lost, but, you know, it's fine. Nobody worry. We're so good at what we do. You know, we'll pay it back later.
Exactly, Joe. And Joe's been doing this a long time, so I think it was in 2022, but especially 2023, I started suggesting, well, what about these higher rates and quantitative easing at the same time? And in Joe's, you know, the common knowledge, like that just can't happen. You just can't have that. But Joe never, he never tells me I'm completely wrong because it's just speculation. It's just a guess, right? But Joe, this clip we're going to play, this is about the Fed's plan to have quantitative easing, but they don't have to print the money. They're going to just have the banks do it. They're going to have the banks do all the printing. And what that means is, well, gosh, they have to have someone to loan the money to. And who has an insatiable appetite for spending that the big banks could borrow money to? Oh, yes, the federal government. Did you see Biden yesterday? We're going to pay for this bridge. We're going to pay for this bridge and everything around it. We're going to throw money everywhere. Where are they going to get the money, Joe? And I have a feeling this is what we're going to play next segment is going to be an explanation.
You're going to want to stay tuned. Inflation is not you know what? I hate to say it. If it's going anywhere, it's going higher. I just see this happening. The spending just won't stop. But this is another one of those tricks that they play. And they played a trick in 2020. Didn't really tell people about what they were doing and what they were up to. We've been paying for that trick for a while now. Right now, the Treasury, they kept issuing all this short-term debt. Now we've got so much debt rolling over. Every auction now is a new record. Every single day, the government has a new record. It's a new record. It's a new record on the amount of debt that needs to be sold. And unfortunately, now on the next segment, all of this money's going to go into the system. Unlike it being put on, say, the Fed's balance sheet, which it isn't necessarily in the system. This will be money in the system, which means what? Yeah. Well, what's inflation? The creation of money. And Jason, I see it coming in spades.
Modern monetary theory, right? The fractional reserve banking system might be at its zenith if they decide to do what they actually have already done for a year in the past. So we'll get this video on. I won't gonna play the whole thing, Joe. He talks about the tails on the auction markets for the treasuries. I skipped some of that stuff because I wanted to get right to the meat of what is going to happen, what this thing is. We'll be right back.
800-951-0592, the year of chaos. I'm going to say the last big breath in the bubble over, say, I don't know, about maybe the next year is the last big breath in this bubble, and you need to get prepared now before it all blows up. Before, you know, gold's $3,000, before silver's going to approach its all-time highs, you need to get prepared. You know, looking at the markets today, the Dow's up 200 points. Oh, yeah, central bank intervention, great, right? That's, you know, keep spending. The government, we're going to spend billions. We're going to build the bridge, and we're gonna make it better. We're going to build everything all over the place. The S&P's up 14. The NASDAQ's down. The 10-year note down to 420. Gold up 15. $2,193. Silver up about 10 cents right now, $24.75. And the need for you to diversify here and really get yourself protected. If you've got a lot of money in an IRA, 401k, maybe you got a lot of money still sitting in these bank accounts, check out YRefi. You can get up to 10.25% fixed rate of return. Not correlated to the stock market, not correlated to the Fed. What does that mean? It simply means no matter what happens, more emergencies, more central bank emergencies, more programs, this program, that program, spend, interest rates down. It doesn't matter. It's the same. It doesn't change. You can use it as income. You can turn your income on. You can turn it off. You can compound it. No fees. Whatever you want. If for some reason you need your money back early, there's no attack on principal. None of that stuff. These guys don't play any games. Check them out. InvestYRefi.com. That's the word invest, the letter Y, REFY.com, or just call them. Just call them, 888-YREFY24. Let them know I sent you. But Jason, we're going to play a clip right now, kind of really setting the table for how they plan on getting through this next bit. Now that the reverse repo is about out of money, how are they going to do it? And they're going to do it by putting money in the system. It's just that simple. This is what they're going to do. And I'm just shocked. And I shouldn't be, but I'm shocked that they keep talking about rate cuts and trying to pretend. Yep. Well, here's the reality. They're not going to control inflation. They have no plan. All as they hope is it stays below 4%. Right? That's really, I think, their only hope right now, Jason.
Yeah, this thing is called the supplementary leverage ratio rule. Of course, leave it up to the Fed to have something like that. Supplementary leverage ratio rule. I'm going to let Joe Brown in the clip talk about this. But based off what I've been watching, Joe, and I've talked on the air several times, that I believe the Fed's plan for the future is to inflate their way out of this current monetary system and reset it. This sets them up nice and pretty to blame somebody else. Joe, people don't remember stuff like this. For whatever reason, I remember stuff. I remember when Trump was running for president in 2016. One of the reasons I actually was kind of I ended up voting for him is one of the things like, well, if I have to bankrupt, if we have to declare bankruptcy to clear out this debt, we will. And sure, smells funny to me that let's say Trump wins this election, and this thing goes into a hyperinflationary type situation under his watch. And he decides to be the hero. Hey, we'll just clear out this debt. These were crooked individuals. I wasn't around when they did this. And some sort of at the end of his term, he declares us bankrupt, and the Fed comes in. Well, we can fix this. Yes, we will work with President Trump, and we will get a fresh new start for America. Those big banks were just so greedy. I mean, Joe, I don't know. Can you see it? I can see it.
Well, here's why I want to set this up. This is something that was done in 2020, the supplemental deal.
March 2020.
Right. This was in direct contrast to what they did for Dodd-Frank. In other words, the central bank was already going to break the rules that they told us. Well, we fixed it, right? You know, we put these controls on these banks, so they're not going to be able to do what they did last time. Essentially, it one crisis, the very next crisis, we're just kidding. Now we're going to start to see the effect of it, Jason.
Absolutely. Let's play this. Like I said, I got a shortened version because a lot of the stuff he talks about, Joe Brown is good at setting up what he's going to talk about. And Joe covers all the stuff that Joe Brown covers. Why don't play his stuff a lot? But he talks about government borrowing. He talks about the reverse repo market. Everything that's leading up to what happened. So let's just start it here and listen closely.
Description below. Okay, so as the government borrows short-term debt, it pulls cash out of the reverse repo facility, and currently there is about $400 billion left in this facility. Within a few short months after tax time, at current government borrowing rates, they will have sucked every last dollar out of the reverse repo facility. That will leave the government forced to pay higher rates in order to attract the cash they need, until all the available cash in the system has been fully borrowed. Now, this takes us right back to the same situation that we were in 2019. Financial system drained of liquidity, banks low on reserves, and everything precariously teetering on the edge of a liquidity crisis. So what about this rule change then? Well, right now, the only thing that limits how many treasuries a bank can buy is rules imposed on those banks by the Federal Reserve. And in fact, these rules tell banks how much they can buy of any assets. Banks buy a bunch of assets. They're trying to maximize their reward while limiting their risks. Sometimes they do a better job of this than others. What most people don't realize is the Federal Reserve can simply change this rule. They're actually talking about changing this rule right now, and they have already changed this rule one time in the past. passed. In April of 2020, in order to deal with the onslaught of treasuries hitting the market, the Federal Reserve temporarily changed this supplementary leverage ratio rule in order to ease strains on the treasury market. This allowed banks to no longer have to worry about the rule of how many treasuries they purchased. Now, this was temporary, and it was only in effect until March 31st of 2021, exactly 1 year later. At the time, many banks, including Chase, Jamie Dimon, he was saying, please, Federal Reserve, do not let this suspension pass. We want this supplementary leverage ratio rule to become permanent. We don't want it to go back to the way it was. However, in March of 2021, the Federal Reserve announced that the temporary suspension on the supplementary leverage ratio would expire as scheduled. But if this rule change were to go into effect again, this time permanently, it would allow banks to become literally limitless purchasers of U.S. treasuries, meaning banks, the entire banking system, would become a source of unlimited borrowing for the U.S. government. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking right now, well, what about profitability? Because it's not just about the rule. Just because a bank is allowed to gorge itself on as many treasuries as it wants doesn't mean it can, because the bank can still go under, right? And you are partially right. Now, you've all heard that treasuries are considered risk-free, but what that actually means is that if you hold the treasury until maturity, you are guaranteed to get your principal plus interest back. Now, as we have all seen over the last 2 years, that is a big if, and that's exactly what led to the failure of Silicon Valley Bank and others. It didn't matter to these banks that the treasuries they were holding were considered risk-free as long as they held them to maturity. That was the problem. These banks loaded up on U.S. treasuries when interest rates were extremely low, and then interest rates moved substantially higher. This meant their treasuries were underwater. They were at a loss. And so when customers asked for their money back, these banks didn't have enough value in these treasuries to be able to sell them for all the customer withdrawals, causing their inevitable collapse. And so the argument is looking at this and saying, hey, well, just because we changed the supplementary leverage ratio rules doesn't mean that banks have no risk now. If they gorge themselves on treasuries and interest rates continue to move higher, if inflation sticks around, the exact same thing could happen. Just because you're allowed to buy as many treasuries as you want does not protect you from those treasuries losing value. And if you have to sell them prior to maturity, you're screwed just like the other banks were. However, the Federal Reserve actually does have a few facilities in place that prevent a lot of these losses from happening. Number one, we saw the BTFP, the Bank Term Funding Program, which did expire, but if push comes to shove, they could absolutely bring that back again. Number two, the Federal Reserve has the discount window. This, among a few other things, means that if banks need to temporarily offload treasuries that are underwater, they can do that to the Fed. So for now, banks do not have to worry about temporary losses that they have on their portfolio of treasuries. So putting this all together, number one, if you hold a treasury till maturity, you're guaranteed to get your interest and principal back. Risk-free. Number two, if you're a bank and you need to get rid of that treasury temporarily before maturity and it's at a loss, you don't have to worry. You can do that with the Fed, which means that number three, a simple change to the leverage rules for banks would allow them to buy literally an unlimited number of U.S. treasuries. Banks, as they always have and they always do, loan money into existence directly to the U.S. government, buying as many treasuries as they want. They keep all the upside, all the interest, and none of the risk. This is quantitative easing through the banking system. Federal Reserve's balance sheet doesn't even have to change. It can actually keep on moving down. The Fed doesn't have to have its credibility challenged. They can keep up their facade of fighting inflation, all while enabling the very thing that keeps it roaring higher. Banks printing money into existence to loan to the government by buying those treasuries, pushing the money supply and the national debt up higher, fueling inflation for the long term. This is why I am betting on more inflation for longer and positioning my long-term investments accordingly. If you'd like...
So there you go, Joe. It's almost a rule that makes the banks miniature central banks all by themselves. You know, they just aren't the central bank.
Well, and again, what he was talking about, you know, the tier one, tier two, tier three assets and certain rules in place. And all of a sudden now the Federal Reserve is talking about bringing this rule back and essentially saying to these banks, hey, soak up as many treasuries as possible. Yep. And unfortunately for us, for everybody out there, that's essentially, as Joe Brown was saying, that's quantitative easing. But the difference is when the Fed does it, it stays on their balance sheet. It doesn't get into the actual system. But when the banks do it, it's in the system, Jason. This is I get it.
Especially if they loan it to the government. Especially if they loan it to the government. What does the government want to do? Give it to everybody that's their friends, right?
And this is something where, I guess as simply as I can put it, is the central bank knows, man, we can't do quantitative easing with inflation running. We don't want to. This is another tactic, you know, a kick the can down the road tactic, and we'll deal with the consequences later. But unfortunately, most people won't realize what they've done, and the Fed will be the one that says, well, gosh, you know, to Jason, it wasn't our fault. Right? You know, hey,
it's the bank's fault. It's their right? Jamie Dimon was too greedy.
Yes, these greedy banks didn't do a good job of managing their risk. And again, I'll just say that anybody out there that thought that inflation was going to go away, you're absolutely mistaken. Because these are the policies that just tell you that we want to give the illusion that we're fighting the inflation. Because look at we're not doing quantitative easing, right? We're not doing quantitative easing. No, we're still, you know, trying to get stuff off of our balance sheet. While at the same time, knowing full well that they're actually creating more inflation. Patriot Radio News Hour. We'll be back after the break. 800-951-0592. Joe and Jason on this Wednesday. It is a short week of Good Friday. The markets will be closed. The radio station in Arizona will be off. Jason, I will still be here Friday. If you want to follow us, go to 1360khnc.com. You can check it out there. And something of note here, as we're talking about all these little backdoor deals that the banks and the central banks are doing to make it appear that things are fine. And then, unfortunately, it works for a little while. They paper over it, but then we pay the price for it. This, now, they haven't done it yet, but they're in serious discussions to do it, and you can understand why. Right? Look at what's going on in Japan right now. They don't need any more treasuries, right? They don't need any more treasuries. They need to get rid of treasuries, right? The Chinese, right? They need to get rid of treasuries. Their economy's sluggish. They're going to spend money. You know, our government, they can't help themselves but spend money. And everybody out there is trying to figure out a way to spend less dollars. This is what they're doing. Well, the Philadelphia Federal Reserve, they did a little research. Okay, and that's, you know, that's what they really like to do, right? You hear Jay Powell say it all the time. Well, we're gonna wait for the data. We're gonna see what the data tells. They love data. I love it. It's great. And listen, that's not a bad thing. You can learn a lot. Well, they decided to do a long-run price stability project, okay? Because you got to remember, right now they've got two mandates, full employment, stable prices, right? And of course, what do they sell us stable prices on? Well, to them, if they devalue your purchasing power by 2%, they've done a great job. And of course, if it's 2%, it actually means 4%. Right, because that's kind of what they've done. Right, they've used a bunch of economic theory to cut actual inflation by about half overall. That's kind of what it's done. Well, one of the things they did in this little study was they just said, well, what if we did go back to the gold standard? You're going to take a look at this. Okay, right? Good for them. Well, what did they find out, the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia? Well, in this working paper that they published last month, they explored how the gold standard would operate as a monetary framework in a hypothetical small open economy. And guess what they found out in this little hypothetical? Huh. The price level would consistently converge to its long-run equilibrium value. Well, what does that mean? Interesting. What does long-run equilibrium value mean? Guess what? That means prices don't ever go up. Matter of fact, in this paper, inflation and deflation would merely be temporary phenomenon, just like it was before we had a central bank. This country became a superpower without the central bank. They don't want you to know that, but that's the truth. And guess what? The only time there was inflation? Well, when bankers started wars. And guess what happened? What doesn't happen today? The price of everything, the second the war ended, well, maybe not the second, but after the war ended, guess what? The prices went back to what they were before the war.
Yeah.
Right? We don't get that, do we? What happens? Well, they just don't go up as much anymore, but they never go back, right? A new car is never going back to $15,000. It's not going to happen, right? Maybe if we're lucky, the rate of increase will slow down a little bit, right? You know, okay, well, now it's only $70,000. Now it's $72,000, $74,000, right? But it's never going back to $15,000. But even, Jason, the central bank itself, they wanted to, and I'm sure they wanted to, say, nah, you can't do this. Now, they'll argue, well, this was just a small economy, right? Yeah, no, it works the same for any size economy. And I only bring this up. I bring this up because digital is what's going to happen. Don't believe them when they tell you it's not. It will, and it is. But when we talk about what we just talked about with these banks, and they're going to pin it on the banks, it's the bank's fault, they bought all these treasuries, blah, 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 blah. Confidence. Will we have to go to some form of gold backed digital currency to get everybody to decide to invest in the United States the way they've done in the past? Jason, this makes it a much more distinct possibility because of the fact that inflation hasn't gone anywhere. It's coming back already. Everybody's saying there's going to be $4 gas this summer, which means in Arizona it's probably going to be like $5. Jason, very, very honest, at least, look from the Philadelphia Fed about what a gold standard does. Prices don't go up and down, and when they do, it's because it's a temporary phenomenon, a situation like war that gets created.
And they probably didn't like what they saw because they didn't find a way to profit very well from it. So they probably want to throw that right in the trash can. It's like, man, I sure would like this type of world, but where do we make ours? And that's why they won't go with it, Joe. And And this inflation it's gonna run hot. I think. I think by the end of the next presidential term, no matter who it is, I think we see a McDonald's worker approaching $40 an hour in 4 years. Yo, eating McDonald's is gonna be $100 or more for a family with what they're getting ready to do, Joe. You talk about the Bank of Japan. They don't want these other countries don't want treasuries until they just get them out so cheaply, right? Who's all gonna gorge in that trough, right, Joe?
800-951-0592. Joe and Jason, Patriot Radio News Hour on this Wednesday as we're, you know, peeling back the onion, if you will, on the Fed and what they're planning. What does it mean for everybody out there? And again, you don't have to look that hard, really. Just look at what the central banks are doing. Look at what's going on in the gold markets. This is very similar setup. It's not the same. But if you go back to the late 60s, right? Because inflation was already coming before the 70s really got here. And the central banks were flying to gold. You had central banks saying, hey, you know what? I don't want to rerun these treasuries back. I want you to give me gold instead. And, of course, that's when Nixon closed the gold window. Now, there's no gold window to close this time, but it does make it interesting in the back of my mind now. Are we going to need to have some form of gold holdings and maybe not a gold standard, but something that says, hey, you know, we've got more than 8,000 metric tons. We got 15,000 metric tons of gold or something to that effect to allow for, because the debt doesn't go away. When we go digital, the debt's still there. Right? And you got to remember, let's just say, you know, I may be gracious with five. Do we have 5 years left? I don't know. But in that 5 years, the debt's going to be over $50 trillion. Not counting whatever is going to be on the Fed's balance sheet and what other kinds of tricks and nonsense that they pull. So is there a possibility? This report makes it possible. I'm not saying it's going to happen. It makes it possible that the United States may consider another gold confiscation. And again, the last time, the only gold you could keep was collectible gold coins. The one thing that the government says is collectible right now, pre-1933 minted gold. That's one of the reasons we like it. Now, does it mean they won't take it? Doesn't mean that. Right, stroke of a pen, they can do what they like, but they always like leaving loopholes for themselves and their buddies. Today, again, gold, $21.90. This will be a new all-time record high close, and I think gold's going a lot higher. I think inflation, unfortunately, going to get a lot worse than most people expect, especially if the plan is going to be to get rid of the rule to allow these banks to gorge on treasuries, which I think they got to have something. $20 gold pieces today, 1 through 19, $2,395. So you're going to save, you know, $15 a coin. 20 or more, $2,385. 50 or more, $2,375. Some of you out there, some of you bigger guys, you want to do 100 or more, $2,365 on $20 gold pieces. This is going to be the Liberties and the Saints. We'll pick it. Whatever you get, you kind of get here. But we've got a bunch of them. We haven't had a lot in that $20 gold piece market. We do today $20 Liberties and Saints 1 through 19, 2003-95, 20 or more, 2003-85, 50 or more, 2003-75, 100 or more, 2365 at 800-951-0592. And Jason, it's kind of right. We're starting to get a picture here of how is this going to work with the reverse repo running out of money, with the Fed really saying, hey, we're going to slow quantitative tightening. We're not ending. We're going to slow the purchases down. By the way, they've said they want to get rid of the mortgage-backed securities, hold on to these treasuries. But who's going to soak up the sky-high record amount of treasuries that gets auctioned off every week? And at least for now, it looks like they're going to once again suspend rules that they put in place that were supposed to make the bank safer. So obviously, what does that mean? They're going to make them more risky.
Yeah, and as far as gold being a part of the monetary system, anything can happen, but I see it as far-fetched. I mean, all this irresponsible behavior from the Federal Reserve cannot be allowed to happen if you have some sort of an anchor. You know, that golden anchor isn't going to let them play their reindeer game, so to speak, Joe. So I don't see gold. You know, I know the BRICS, they want to do the basket of commodities. I don't see it, Joe. I really don't. It's a competition to the power that they wield. They don't want to have any controls over their power. They want to be out, have no restraint of any kind, Joe.
Let me tell you right now, of course that's what they want. What we don't know is, can they get it? That's going to be the hard part. We don't know. I'm like you. I still think that's a small possibility. It just depends. How much debt do we have? How much faith does the rest of the world have in wanting to buy U.S. debt? That's going to be the key. And if it gets to the point where confidence is shaken enough, do they have to do something like, you know, obviously gold would be the answer, right? Hell, well, look, we got gold behind it to give that confidence. That's what we don't know. So it's interesting that the Philly Fed did that study, right? You know, the timing of it, very interesting. We'll wrap it up. Final segment coming up. 800-951-0592, $20 gold special. We are heating it up. 1 through 19, 2,395, 20 or more, 2,385, 50 or more, 2,375. If you want to do 100 or more, 2,365 at 800-951-0592. Meeting in Japan today, getting their ducks in a row to try to stop the yen slide. You know, think about this. They ended the negative rates, and it still wasn't enough to stop the slide in the yen. Now they're talking about needing to intervene, talk out of the central bank now about eliminating one of the rules in regards to how many treasuries a bank can buy and still be safe. Because, well, they've got a problem, which is not enough buyers for the amount of debt that the United States needs to sell. I mean, Jason, it's pretty simple.
It seems so, doesn't it, Joe? It seems so, and until the money masters decide to change rules and give you all kinds of crosstalk it's supply and demand. It's everything's supply and demand. It's just that there's a lot of wizards out there that have magic tricks, Joe, that they get you all looking at one hand while the other hand does all the stealing from you. So, you know, it's one of, you know, there's all kinds of things you can invest in. There's all kinds of ways to make money, but everyone's, you know, got their own thing they're selling, right, Joe? Gold just seems so much more real. It's an actual real thing. It's why owning physical gold it kind of is just a sane position in a very insane economic world, Joe.
Yeah, and again, it's those things where even the central bank had to admit, man, when it comes to inflation, when it comes to deflation, both, gold's the best, period. Because, like I said, during a war, you would have inflation. As soon as the war ended, you had deflation, right? Because all the prices went back down. Immediately, they just went back down. And then, as soon as the nonsense was over, everything was good again. Right? You didn't have to have governments coming out of the state of California. You got to pay everyone $20 an hour. And next thing you know, now you got to pay them $30 an hour and $40 an hour. You, as a business owner, how great would it be when you know every day what something's going to cost? Nothing more frustrating than being a business owner right now, because every day you just don't know what something's going to cost. You know, it's like shipping boxes. They've like tripled, right? The tape, you know, things like that. The tubes that we put the products in, right? Here at Payton, these things go up constantly. Then the taxes go up constantly. Jason, it would be so nice to have something where you didn't have to worry about that anymore. But again, how do the bankers make money in that system? And that's the problem.
It's hard to believe that people used to earn a living off, you know, I think during World War II times, it was like 40 cents an hour. People earned a living on 40 cents an hour, you know? A decade later, $1 an hour, $2 an hour. Now $30 an hour doesn't cut it. $40 an hour is not going to cut it, right, Joe? It's inflation, and it's how those that are bankers can enrich themselves on our backs, Joe. Gold.
800-951-0592. Get that gold put away.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.